Welcome to Adoption Talk by Spence Chapin, the podcast where all the voices of the adoption constellation come together. Twice a month, this podcast brings you conversations with adoptees, birth parents, adoptive families, and adoption professionals as they share their experiences and discuss all things adoption. We're glad you've joined us. On today's episode, Spence Chapin, Chief Program Officer of Domestic Adoption Programs, Linda Alexander, speaks with Erica and Ephraim, parents of a 12-year-old tween, about their experience navigating a semi-open adoption with their daughter's birth family, and their process in seeking out adoption-competent therapy to work through some of life's challenges. Let's get started.
Welcome to Adoption Talk. Today, we're talking to Erica and Ephraim, adoptive parents from Spence Chapin, who adopted their daughter, Isabel, more than 12 years ago, right, guys?
Yep.
Wow, yep. That's incredible. Time flies, doesn't it?
Like yesterday. Seems like yesterday.
Okay, so I think we're going to focus, or you're going to tell us a little bit about your adoption story. I'd love to hear a little bit about that. And we're going to try and focus the talk about, some of the challenges of really navigating semi-open or closed adoptions. And also, the thought of reaching out and getting adoption competent support and counseling when there are challenges that occur. So I'm going to just jump right in and ask you guys to just tell me a little bit about your journey with Spence Chapin towards your adopting your beautiful daughter.
Well, we adopted our daughter back in 2009. It was through domestic adoption. And I through our preparation, we got a feel that our story was a little, it wasn't the norm, because in our situation, when we were chosen by her birth parent, she had already been born and she was already 2 weeks old. So we were pleasantly surprised, and it all happened fairly quickly after that. She was with an interim care provider, an amazing, amazing, amazing woman who we still keep in contact with, Kathy. Our daughter calls her Mommy Kathy. Aww. And she was with her for 6 weeks. So it was just, we had an amazing social worker, Lauren, who's no longer with you, but it was just a really wonderful experience for us. We got a lot of great preparation, and it was pretty smooth.
Yeah, and when she says it was relatively short, it took 9 months, which is kind of funny, right? 9 months, like a birth, process. But yeah, it took 9 months, and it was exciting all the way through. And we felt super duper supported by Spence, that's for sure.
Well, that's really good to hear. Having been here for 25 years, I love hearing that people felt supported as they were going through their journey, because we know there are ups and downs when you're doing the process of adoption. And it's very important to Spence Chapin that families always feel supported. So I'm glad to hear that that happened for you. So, in talking about doing this podcast a little bit, like, what are Isabel's thoughts about you guys doing a podcast related to adoption and her story a little bit? At 12, I'm sure she has an opinion.
Yes, she's pretty funny. She was just like, I said, so how do you feel about us doing this podcast interview about adoption? And she's just like, that's you. Like, if you want to do that, that's fine. She was like, just don't give too much personal information about me. Like,
she didn't want us to talk about the activity she's in, her routines, and nothing like that. She doesn't want her business put out there.
Okay, I understand. So
she's at the age right now that it's like, whenever I take a photo, she's like, are you gonna post this? Don't post this.
Yeah.
And that's how we're able to get photos from her now.
But we can say that she's fully active in a whole bunch of different things. Her calendars is as busy as ours. So
I understand. So Let's jump right in a little bit. So, you know, 12 years ago, you went through this process, adopted your beautiful daughter, and I'm sure there was a lot of conversations with the workers around openness and adopting and having ongoing contact and your feelings about that and what you were hoping to happen and what actually happened. So can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Sure. So Spence Chapin is obviously really big on open adoption, and we weren't as familiar with the concept, and the preparation was great. We were sold on it. I think in the very beginning, there was some wondering, a little apprehension, like, how does this work? But then during the readings and just our meetings, it was just like, this is what we want. It sounds like it really, in such a complicated situation, it kind of helps bring things full circle. But then in our situation, the birth family asked for a semi-open adoption, which meant that we would just send pictures and, I guess, kind of updates on a yearly basis. And we were a little disappointed with that, really thinking of our child from the beginning, saying, you know, we wanted her to, from the beginning, to have some type of relationship. We didn't know what that was going to look like, but some type of connection with her birth family. And that didn't happen. And then as the years progressed, I can speak for myself, my husband can speak for himself, right? But for me, I really wanted that to happen. And I wanted it to happen soon, before our daughter's teenage years.
Sure.
And so it was really disappointing when we didn't even get responses back. I'd make albums and I'd send pictures, and there was never any response. And that was really difficult. Leslie was really helpful in that, because I got to a point, I think, because in our case, the birth parent was, when she became a parent, she was underage. She was a teenager. Mm-hmm. And so when she became of age, an adult, I reached out to Leslie and I said, is it possible that maybe now that she's an adult, maybe there's somehow we can have some contact? And Leslie was just so kind and understanding and patient, and was just like, you know, we can't. I mean, it's just how things are. And unless the birth parent wants to communicate, we just have to let it be.
And if I could jump in, I think what happened to me and my thought process was, man, we put in all this work. We read all the books on open adoption. We read all the amazing stories about, you know, having like an aunt type relationship with the birth mother. And, you know, we believe in, you know, having a village raise a child. And so mm-hmm. we were looking forward to that relationship for her more than anything. And it never happened. And so we put in all the work to get ready for that, and it never happened. So it was a little disappointing. But I'm going to be honest, at the same time, there was just a small part of me that said, well, you know, it's cool. She's good. She's with us. She's there's no other need for any other existence in terms of having that peace. Didn't seem like it was needed, and she was fine. And so there was almost like a little kind of relief, because, you know, we're human, and there are times when we're like, what if she gets older and she wants the birth family and not us, right? Mm-hmm. Have those thoughts.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just small. We never really had to deal with it in depth in our hearts and in our minds, but it was there. So it was just there. But it was kind of disappointing and almost a relief at the same time. But I think in the end, it just worked out the way it was supposed to work out for us and for Isabel. She's very well adjusted to the situation. And even now, sometimes, you know, I'll ask her, hey, Izzy, do you want to eventually, we call her birth mom, Mommy Rosie. So do you eventually want to meet Mommy Rosie? Earlier, when she was younger, she'd go, no, I don't need to. Mm-hmm. Now she's a little older. And the last time we spoke, she's like, maybe. But we're talking about, you know, good 10, you know, 8 to 10 years. That's where it's changed. So, you know, whatever the decision is for her later on, we'll support it. And we're so cool with whatever, you know, whatever really happens.
And another thing is that although there's no replacing that missing aspect, it did inspire us to continue our relationship with her interim care provider. And so before COVID, we were seeing her on a yearly basis. And she is just an amazing individual.
Yeah.
And their relationship is just the sweetest. As a matter of fact, our daughter just, she looks at the memories on my phone often. And she goes, Mommy, Kathy, we have to see her again. Aww. And so it's one of those things like, okay, she doesn't have a relationship with her birth mom, but she has a relationship with Mommy Kathy. And it's like the next best thing, you know, it's we're grateful for that.
Okay. Well, that's wonderful to hear. I think, you know, hearing what you're saying, it makes sense. Like there, you know, when you prepare for a certain type of relationship and the disappointment of it not happening and having to navigate that, and you're dealing with it on a level for you as adoptive parents wanting the best for your child and also thinking about what is it, how is this going to impact her later if this relationship is not what we were hoping for. And, you know, when I hear that and that the connections with the interim care provider, you know, has helped in that, tell me a little bit about that. Like what aspect of that relationship do you think, because you said she was with her for 6 weeks, so that's a good chunk of her life, you know, that this person cared for her. So can you tell me a little bit about how that's helped with the disappointment around not having contact with the birth mom?
Absolutely. She fills in like the little missing pieces, right? So when we go, when we've gone to visit her, we've gone to her house, and Kathy will show her, this was the bassinet that you were in. This is the bassinet you came when you came straight from the hospital. And she'll tell her little stories. And it's just been, and then there are times that Kathy has a baby with her.
Okay.
And so she's able to see a little bit of her story. And one of the beautiful things that Spence Chapin had always told us about in sharing, that this is just our story. Right. And when the moment you're sharing it from the beginning, it's just part of who we are. And so to see her story kind of unfolding with the new babies come, and then to see how loved the baby is, because Kathy is just all love. they have conversations, and so they talk about current things, and but then there's also the memories that she talks to her about. And it's just the sweetest thing.
That's wonderful to hear. So in navigating, you know, the semi-open, not having the communication, and sometimes that means not having information and more information you'd want to know, what has Isabel's questions been around her birth mother? And you said as she's gotten older, there's been a few more. Just can you tell me a little bit more about that and how that's evolved over time?
Yeah, that's been an interesting journey, because from the beginning, we've been very open with her. We have what Spence has told us is called an invisible adoption, because we're Latino, and so is our daughter.
Yeah.
And so, and she looks very much.
She's a chameleon. If she's with Erica, she looks like Erica. She's with me, she looks like me. When she's with her godmother, she looks like a Dominican, you know, godmother. No, it's really... is wild,
right? And so she very also much looks like my husband's side of the family. It's pretty crazy when we look at it. She looks very much like my stepson. It's just incredible. But then that means that adoption is not in the forefront.
Sure.
Because it's just not. And when we have shared with people, they're just often shocked.
Yeah.
But from the beginning, we've been very intentional about having these open conversations. I've made sure that I've always had books that talked about it, that made the process easier when she was in her younger years. I've created albums that talk about it with her, but she was never interested in talking about it.
Okay.
I remember, I clearly remember she was about 3 years old, and we had read a particular book, the Tummy Mummy, and I'm talking to her about it, and she literally changed the subject.
which she's good at.
But it was one of those first times when you realize,
yeah,
did you just change the subject because you don't want to talk about it? She goes, no, I don't want to talk about it. And I was just like, wow. And then I remember another instance when she was about, I'm going to say 7 or 8, and I used some type of imagery, mm-hmm, concerning, I'm like, look at the beauty of this and this and the, about the adoption. What? And she just said, you know, mom, that's something that's important to you, that interests you, but it doesn't really mean as much to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I was just kind of stuck, because I'm going, oh my gosh, like I have to respect her feelings and her personhood, where she's at in her own journey, at the same time wanting to make this very accessible and open conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took advantage of Smench Chapin's life book, a workshop that they've put together several times. And so what it is, they kind of come to, the kids will come together with the counselors and the families as well, and just create kind of like a scrapbook about their life. And it was fun, and the kids would share. But for our particular situation, it got her to ask for like the first time something about her birth mom. You know, it was like the first time she even like wondered about her out loud, at least. Mm-hmm. And it was very minimal, but it was progress. And so I believe we did it 2, maybe even 3 times.
You talked a little bit about it, that it's a workshop. For people out there who don't understand what that is, the life book workshop, can you go into a little bit details of how it works and what happens in a life book workshop?
So it's led by the counselors at Spence, and they basically start off with kind of introductions, talking about where the children were born, because there's domestic adoption, but there's so many children from international, mm-hmm, adoption. So we talk about different countries, and that's always great because they have a map on the wall, and then the children or the families will go and say, well, this is where, and including even the parents, and well, this is where I was born, this is where my story originated, and everybody puts a little like a little tack or something there. And then the counselors do a great job at just explaining what they're going to do and why. And then we have that time where the kids are getting their materials and they start and they talk, they have it organized in a way, like, I think it's like the birth, family, mm-hmm, and it's kind of, separated in different themes. Their family now, and it's really such a fun and sweet way at the same time to get the kids thinking and appreciating, and then at the end the kids will share,
okay,
what they did, and there's always such a respectful audience because everyone really is interested, and even despite the ages, because you have younger children and you have older, mm-hmm, ones, and it's just a really safe place.
Mm-hmm.
To share everyone's unique life story.
Okay. I mean, that's wonderful. And you know, we've done life book workshops here for many, many years. And we've heard that from a lot of families, that it really, for kids who are not yet articulating some questions, or it starts a conversation, you know, because sometimes families come to us and they're like, I don't know if this is just her being her, or there's something we're not asking, or whatever, where we're not getting her to, you know, she's not talking about adoption and things like that. Workshops like that do help kids to maybe start talking, or help parents to realize that's just my kid. She's not ready to talk about that, and that's okay too. Yes. So I'm glad that you guys were able to take advantage of that. And it sounds like Isabel really enjoyed it, which is always wonderful. So, you know, one of the things that comes up with families a lot, and I want you guys to tell me about your conversations about this, is when they're questioning whether or not, when they have a child who's not asking questions or who doesn't seem, or who's like, I don't really want to talk about this, is it something we're doing? Is it something that we're not asking? You know, is she getting some kind of, or is there something she wants to talk about but doesn't know how to talk about it? So it's like all those questions that parents have told us have popped up for them when they have a child who doesn't seem to really want to talk about, you know, their adoption as much, or have questions about their birth parents. So tell me about your discussion as parents, you know, in trying to figure out, you know, what's going on here. Is it that, you know, because you guys said you were so into open adoption, this was something that was very important in communicating about that. So it must have been a bit like, okay, there are no questions. What's going on here?
The conversation usually goes something like Ephraim telling me, just give her time. You're being too pushy.
give her space. What you guys may not know is that my wife is the ultimate question asker in conversation. She's excellent at it. She can sit with a stranger and even an introverted, quiet person, shy person, any of those, and she'll get them talking because she's good at it. And mostly what she's good at is asking questions, but she really is interested. It's not just to ask questions. Sure. I have to work hard at it. That's just who she is. So Isabel by now knows, and I think she's kind of always known, that mom is the one who will dig in and ask questions. And I'm a little bit different. I had an extra interested parent who was just over me all the time as a little one. Okay. And so I promised myself, and I exercised it with my son as well. He's older, that I wouldn't be that way with my kids, at least not all the time. You know, there's moments when you have to, et cetera, but I wouldn't be that, you know, over the shoulder type parent. So when these things come up and Isabel's answer is usually, I don't really want to talk about that. I may ask one or two tiny questions to see. And if it's really that she doesn't want to talk about it, I just keep it moving, because I think eventually, it's just my opinion, I think eventually it'll come out. We just have to be aware aware of how it's coming out. Is it coming out in behavior, bad behavior, acting out, whatever. Sometimes, you know, it's a difficult way because the mind is dealing with something she doesn't understand. But very often with her, because she is her mother's child, it's just questions. She'll just say something and that conversation. So you want to jump in any part of it?
I just, you know, I think, you know, there are so many issues that are unique to adoption. Yeah. But at the end of the day, parenting is just this everyday learning ground.
Yes.
And having to learn, like, let me give her space. And at the end of the day, I just wanted her to feel safe that when she is ready, that she can talk to one of us about it. And I think also that when she does, and this is what I've learned with other things as well, that when she shows interest in something that she hasn't, and I get really, really excited internally, I have to really reel it in.
She has to hold that sucker in.
I have to reel it in and not show the emotion that I really want to show, and just kind of go with her flow, or else I might push her away with my overenthusiasm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess, you know, what I'm hearing from you, which is something that, you know, we talk to families who reach out to us for support or to do life book or workshop or advice, is this part about listening to your child's cues around these things? Because I think what happens sometimes, there is this question that starts to happen for families, and they've come to us and they're like, is it adoption? Or is it that she's just 13? Is it adoption? Right. Was it just they're two, you know? And so trying to separate the two, like, this is this child developing, this is what they do, versus like, there's this layer of the adoption piece that is always there. And it's trying to separate those sometimes. And so tell me about how you try to separate that and to you know, in your own internal discussion and with each other too. around like, is this adoption or is it just
silly? Yes, we definitely have gone through that. When she was in first grade, we were having a lot of we were having a lot of struggles within our family, and we had to make a lot of changes. You know, without getting too personal, it's but I feel like it's important because we're doing this podcast to help others, right? And you know, in our daughter's case, she's always struggled with separation anxiety.
Okay.
And when she was younger, it manifested in like the not wanting to let go of me, right? But then as she got older, the manifestations changed and it would turn into anger. And it, like, we literally would have to kind of step back and see things for what they were. And there was a crying out from her of wanting to be with us because we were doing the traditional, having her in school, right? And she was in school all day and in a wonderful school, mm-hmm. but it was homework afterwards. She was tired and there were just so many things and a lot of anger was coming mm-hmm. out.
Sure.
And it was a lot of arguing over homework and all of these things. And so we made a lot of life changes. We decided to homeschool.
Okay.
And that way we can have more time as a family. And then still keeping the social aspect, because I know that's a a wondering people often have, like tons of socialized, tons of being with other kids and other homeschooling families, but being together more, that helped with the healing process, but there was still this anger mm-hmm. there. And, I said, you know, it took a while to realize that we need some type of counseling, but I was personally in denial that it didn't have to do with adoption. It had to do with not spending enough time together and all of these, and she has a separation anxiety, and there are plenty of kids who were born within their families who experience separation anxiety. And so there was this denial of that it does not have to do with adoption. And then I read this, and so, you know, we're people of faith. And so, you know, we did a lot of praying and asking mm-hmm. God for guidance. Like, where do we go? What do we do? Because this is a struggle. You know, every child struggles with different things, but when you have a child who struggles with anger, mm-hmm. it's so, I mean, to be honest, it's just such a challenge because you want to respond with love, but the anger just sometimes elicits anger. And sometimes there's just less compassion. Mm-hmm. So we knew that we needed some type of help. And so we were trying to find faith-based counseling. And we could not, as many people as we know in the Christian world, we could not find a faith-based counselor for children.
Wow.
And at the same time, I was reading this particular book. I can't remember the name of it right now, but it brought some fear into me. Mm-hmm. And it was talking, it was written by an adoptee, and it was talking about all adoptive parents should know. Okay. And basically she was explaining of how this is my interpretation, like the happiest day of my life when I first became a mother was like the most traumatic moment for my child. Mm-hmm. And it just left me so broken. And I reached out to Kathy, the interim care provider. And I said, you know, I explained this and I was in tears. And she just really kind of soothed me and explained to me all the care that's taken in terms of their training to help the transition for every child that goes through this process. And so that brought me a comfort, but then at the same time, it made me realize maybe this is an adoption issue. Maybe it stems from the whole whatever happens and from the beginning. And so I reached out to Spence and everything happened so smoothly after that. Like I got a counselor right away. I did ask for certain requirements because they're Spence Chapin is very open to what our needs. Sure. And they were able to find a counselor, and it was right away and what we needed. And she was amazing. And the counseling was a family counseling. So it wasn't just with our daughter, but it was the three of us. Mm-hmm. And really talking things out, talking about ways to deal with certain situations, which was a process for us too, mm-hmm. because we had to do a lot of unlearning mm-hmm. in our responses and be very intentional. And so we did a year of that, and it was a wonderful year of healing for us. And you know, this is not then it was happily ever after. No, this has been a continuous struggle, and we try to go back to certain things that we learned through counseling, mm-hmm. and we try to keep things in mind, but it's been a journey, and the counseling was so necessary. And once that denial was put to the side, I felt like it was like specifically the counseling was specific to her unique needs.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, in the very beginning, I was like, yeah, okay, you know, we'll do it. And then I went, and really, it felt like we were just having conversation, right? Mm-hmm. It was really easy. The counselor was great. Isabel seemed to enjoy her company. And we were just a family sitting with someone else having conversation. And I remember the first day afterwards, I was like, I don't know if this is gonna help, because, you know, I don't feel like we're getting instruction. I feel like it's just, we're sitting there talking, but I saw it immediately. I mean, immediately once we're home in our own environment, it was like almost everything changed in Izzy and in us. And so, you know, at first I didn't think it was gonna take, but it took way better than I ever expected.
Mm-hmm. I mean, thank you guys for being so honest about that, because I think, you know, what we found sometimes, and we hear from families, it's really hard to reach out, especially from to the adoption agency where you adopted your child, to say, hey, we need help here. You know, we're trying to navigate something, and I think we need somebody to help us, you know, do that journey. And so I ask you to kind of, for people listening out there who may be struggling, you know, and may be like questioning, should I reach out to this agency or not? Should I, you know, adoption competent counseling is very important. You know, it has to be people who know about adoption and how it works and some of the emotions that families go through and some of the issues that children may face. So what advice would you give to families who are on the fence, who are struggling with like even making that decision and picking up that phone and asking, you know, I think we need a little help here.
One of the things that our counselor shared with us in the beginning was that, you know, children are, we're all like an onion, right? With a lot of layers. Mm-hmm. And that adoptees just have an extra layer. It's just an extra layer. And like for us to have professionals who really understand, I think that's just key. And so my advice to a parent is just try it out. And if it doesn't work, you know, during our process, we ended up having three different counselors. Okay. So the first counselor, everyone was great. Mm-hmm. But what happens with great people, they go and they move on to do other things. And so there was an opportunity for the first counselor, and so she took it. So then we got another great counselor, and she was wonderful, but then she had to move out of the country and deal help with family issues. So then we got a third one, and at this point we were in a better place. There were also some family changes that were making it difficult to do the travel, and so it didn't work at that point. And so that's when we ended the counseling there. And so all of that to say is that you try it and see, because when it comes, you get to a place where you're at a loss and you start to get desperate, because you want your child to be well, you want your family to live in the love that's felt like truly the true love that's felt. And so when these challenges come in place, it's like we need help, and we need to go to professionals for it.
Yeah, you know, we don't adopt children. I think if we came to adopt children with the wrong intent, like, I just want to fulfill something in me, I want to be a dad, that's sort of nonsense. I think Spence Chapin would have found that out, you know, early on in the process. So if you're already an adoptive parent, that means you have love for this child. This is your child. So why? So I'm putting it on the parents. Why, right? We love our children and we want the best for them. So I think some of us have to put aside our pride and our fear and say, let me give this a shot, because we love them. We love them. We want them to be great and better than us. And so if we love someone, you look out for their best interests. And I think that's what's always in my mind with her. I'm always thinking about what's best for her. And I think it's no different with the counseling. Is it uncomfortable? Sure. Stuff comes up that don't even have to do with adoption sometimes. Is it time consuming? Sure. And you can come up with other reasons. But the linchpin for me is that once we saw that it worked, we said, you know, this is something we have to follow through with. Yeah, it's worth the time, the effort, the money, anything that you have to put into it is worth it, because you get so much more out of it. And so I would encourage parents to, you know, just go for it. Give it a shot. Like Erica said, just try it. You're not going to lose anything. If anything, you're going to gain so much more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's interesting that advice you got about the onions and peeling back and the layers, and it's across life. And we, you know, there are layers to everything. And yes, adoption is just another layer. And as you said, as parents, you try to kind of peel that back and figure out, is it that layer we're dealing with, or is it something else? And, you know, I always tell families, you know, your child best, and your instinct and your gut instincts are what you go with. But sometimes, you know, it's okay to, like you said, it's okay to try something and to reach out, because there are experts out there. There are people who have seen many families and work with many children, especially when you're navigating, you know, trying to figure out whether it is an issue that's focused on about adoption, or is this just your kid being your kid, you know? And so I appreciate you kind of like explaining how counseling really helped and for you as a family and for people to try and give it a try to see, you know, especially if it's working with somebody who really, like we said, is an adoption competent counselor, that's their area of expertise, which is an important aspect to that. So thank you. I again appreciate the, you know, the hearing it from you. I think families, what we've heard from them, it's important to hear from other families who've lived it and experienced it, so that they can kind of like, they relate. You know, I was just thinking a little bit about what you said when we were talking a little bit about the whole disappointment around semi-open versus open adoption. And I just want to go back to that a little bit and talk to me about like Isabel's understanding about openness in adoption and how it works, because as she gets older, she'll know more about, because, you know, openness is on a spectrum. You have closed adoptions, you have semi-open, and you have fully open kind of adoptions where people are in direct contact. And, you know, for kids who are in different aspects of openness, I think, you know, it's and as they get older and they learn more about, oh, openness works this way, it works that way, what does that mean for me and the way openness is working for me? So can you tell me a little bit about your thoughts on that and how you would navigate that as she gets older and learns more about how openness works?
Well, I mean, I'm going to just say that I think she understands it pretty well, because we've spoken about it, we've taught about it, we've read about it together. So I'm pretty sure she understands it pretty well. I mean, I don't know. Would you agree with that?
I do. Yeah. I do. Her personality, you know, every child is so unique. Mm-hmm. And her personality is that when it comes to deeper things, she's going to
Put it off for a minute.
She just doesn't want to go deep. She's just she likes to have a lot of fun and she likes to keep things light. So I at this point, I feel like it's going to take quite a while. Okay. She's about to enter her teenage years.
Yes.
Next month.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So yeah, it's actually been close to 13 years. It was 13 years ago when we adopted. And so that's actually something that we're even going back to the counseling, we're contemplating going back again because
we need help. We need a little help.
When you add the teenage stuff with the extra onion layer of adoption, I hear what you're saying.
We were in Puerto Rico with her, I don't want to say what she does. We were in Puerto Rico with a team she's a part of, right? Okay. So there are other parents there, and Isabel called me to go over to where she was standing or whatever. And I had been talking to one of the other fathers, and I said something, and I looked over and she calls me. I said, "Oh, I gotta go. My daughter's calling me." He goes, "Hurry up, bro. Go. We don't get those days anymore when they actually want to call us over and have conversations." So yeah, we're already dealing with it. So
right.
We're thinking about it.
Yeah, and it's because, you know, this is something we've gone through already. Yeah. However, now, like you said, there's an extra layer with the teenage years.
Yeah.
And so I think that when it comes to the comfort that I get, or the peace that I receive when I think about those moments where she might say certain things like, I think the bigger question, the biggest question, and it might be a fear for many people, is, you know, can I meet my birth parent? How can I meet my, right? That's like the big one.
Yeah.
And the piece that I have is that I have you guys. So when that time comes, you know, Spence is able to help us to navigate through that and figure that process out along with her. And that there were so many reasons why we even went with Spence. I remember when we the first time we went to the it's not an open house, it's like when you first
information
learn. Info session. Yes.
And Linda, you were actually the one.
Yes.
And you won me over with so many things you said. You were like, "We're not here to find a baby for you. We're here to find a family for a child," you know. And there were so many things that just left me like, "This is it. This is the place it's supposed to be." And then going through the process, it was like, this is not like you become a family and then you're on your own. It's no, this is we're going to walk you through this as if you need, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I think about the future, you know, we've been open to with her, and I think she knows that. And when she's ready, then we're going to walk her through it. And then knowing that we have that professional support, because we want to do this right.
Yeah. You know, we've had some little moments. I remember one time, She looked kind of down or something. I said, "You okay?" And she said, "Daddy, I don't know anybody else that's adopted." Mm-hmm. And like my first reaction was like, "Ah, right." But my Spence Chapin training jumped right in, and Erica and I looked at each other, and I remember saying, "Wait a minute, you do know someone who's adopted. You know a couple of people." And I showed them who they were, because those are families who don't talk about it either. It's just, that's their child and that's it, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And one of them is her cousin. And I said, "Hey, did you know so-and-so?" And she said, "I didn't know that." I said, "Yeah, and he's your cousin. So, you know, you do know some people. You are not alone. It's not abnormal." And that was it. I haven't ever had another discussion about, "I'm the only one that's adopted that she knows." It was one discussion, the training kicked in, mm-hmm. and boom. We were good to go.
And I think it also pushed us to be a little more intentional in trying to form relationships.
After that, yeah.
Because we've participated in different things at Spence, and we've been part of like the barbecue and things like that. Sure. But you know, relationships can't be forced, right? And so, you know, you try, and if it doesn't happen organically, but then sometimes it's stepping back and going, "You're right, like who else is and then, you know, within our communities we have a lot of in terms of people of color, we have a lot of internal adoptions, like,
sure,
that it's
auntie, family, auntie, right? Raised grandma, him, grandma, mm-hmm. raised.
It's just that's just the norm. And like, Efren said, we just don't really talk about it. And so, you know, we just started becoming a little more intentional in seeking out other relationships, even if they were seasonal, and that's okay. But, you know, again, as people of faith, we believe that, you know, that certain things are just, they're meant to be, and that it just works out. And so, like, people who she's ended up, like one particular family member who she's become so close with is also adopted through domestic adoption. And it was just one of those answered prayers.
They're like besties. They don't live in the same state, mm-hmm. and talk all the time. And we visit them every couple of years. We visit, and these two girls are like sisters. And it was so good for us. I mean, it was great for her, but as a parent, you go, oh, you know, just breathing easy because now she's in this friendship.
And it's not that they talk about it, right? Because this is way too deep for a 13-year-old or 12-year-old. But when that time comes, that there is another person who shares her story, and that relationship has they've been working on that relationship for years. And and just, you know, it just, what we have so many fears, and there are but so many things that we have control over. Do our best, and what we have control over, we take care of. And then it's like, all right, in faith, believing that it's what it's going to be, and that it's going to be provided. And sure enough, that's how it's been.
I mean, I just love what you just touched upon, because this is a theme we hear about this, and you used a phrase about being very intentional. And I think it's important for something like this. And we've heard this from, like, that simple question is, you know, who else around me, you know, has this same type of journey? It's an identity issue. Mm-hmm. For children. And so thank you for bringing that up. I think it's important, as you said, to intentionally make sure when you hear these things, like, who else is around, you know, who can identify, you know, because it is a different kind of journey. And I think it's important that that's acknowledged, and, you know, you give your child permission to be like, wow, I can identify with somebody because of this particular thing that we share, and having somebody in their life that they can, you know, even if, like you said, it's comfort in just knowing, and then later there may be deeper conversation. But for now, as parents, you recognize that and made sure that that was something that's part of her circle. You know, one of the things that we've really attempted to do is in our post-adoption department and community engagement. One of the things we've heard about this from families, about community and having their child have other kids that they can identify, that share, you know, some similar stories around adoption, is, you know, we've built in our, you know, play groups for kiddos so the parents can meet each other. We have play cafe, we've bagels and blocks and in get togethers before COVID, you know, and we're getting back in that rhythm again. And we found that that's really important to offer for families, so that the kids can have this kind of organic community where there's no pressure around it. You know, people can come, families can get to meet each other. So what are your thoughts about that, about those kind of events and having, you know, things so that there is a community that's built for kids and for the families who are navigating that extra layer, layer of that onion.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful. It's so needed. I think that from those gatherings, there might be some forever friendships forged and between children and parents. And I think it's wonderful. And it may be a seasonal thing, or it may be just for those moments, but it really helps to provide those meeting opportunities, because it's hard, right? And again, this is not something that's in the forefront of conversation, like, hi, you know, you don't introduce yourself as, hey, you know, we're this. And so I think it's a great opportunity. And you know, sometimes there's some challenges, right? Because in situations like that, you're, for example, we're talking Manhattan, New York City's huge, right? So yeah. It's like if someone lives in Manhattan, but if they live in the Bronx or if they live in Staten Island, it's kind of hard to, but they might have another opportunity, right? At the next time to get together. So I think that's great. And I do remember seeing opportunities for older kids as well.
Yes, we have a mentorship program where, you know, kids come in and you know, older adoptees, they've navigated some situation, they're matched together and the kids do activities together. And it's a fantastic program for kids. And, you know, there are put together based on age, and it's worked really well, and we've done it for many, many years. And so you know, if anyone's interested in mentorship, we you know, that's just part of our identity at Spence Chapin, and belief around mentorship. We think it's important. We're getting at the top of the hour. This has been amazing, guys. I so appreciate your candor. I appreciate your time, and I thank you for wanting to talk about some of these challenges and, you know, the counseling piece, navigating openness, whether you're at the end where it's closed, whether it's fully open, and really kind of bringing it together for families, I think, around the importance on cues and listening to your child, but also listening to your gut as a parent and knowing when to reach out for support. So I think we can have many follow-up conversations. I can't wait to talk a little bit about the teen years. So I thank you so much for joining us today, and hopefully we'll do this again sometime soon.
Thank you, Linda, so much. Thank you for having
us. Yes, thank you so much.
Such an honor to give back, if just a little bit, to the Spence Chapin community and to the adoption community as a whole. If we've been any help, we're so, so glad to be part of it.
But as I said, thank you. I think this is really going to help a lot of families when they're here. You know, your candidness around, you know, like really, you know, listening and talking and communicating and reaching out, and how important these things are. So again, thank you so much. And hopefully we'll be talking sometime soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Adoption Talk. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to subscribe and leave us a rating wherever you get your podcasts. You can also head to spence-chapin.org/adoptiontalk to leave feedback, suggest episode topics, and sign up for updates on the latest episodes. See you next time.